The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Go back to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. 14 and verse 12, Proverbs. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to speak to you tonight on the Velvet Valley or the Velvet Alley. I want you to think, if you will, about walking through a valley or walking through an alley tonight. And as you begin to enter into that alley, it may look bright, it may look glamorous, it may look, if you would please, like it's inviting. Or maybe as you're walking through a valley, you begin to see the roses on the side, you begin to see the flowers that maybe you never saw before. But then when you get into either one of these different places, whether it's an alley in the big city or whether it's a valley out in the mountainous area, you begin to see things that are reality. You begin to see things that are just not right. You begin to see things that catches your eye that might even be just a little bit disturbing. And as we look at this verse tonight, we'll be able to see what that is really talking about. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. You know, many times a person will begin to get into sin. They'll dabble in it just a little bit because, after all, they don't think it's all that bad. And before you know it, they get drugged in hook, line, and sinker. And before you know it, they're drowning in the mire of sin, and they seemingly can't get out. Like a person falling into a pit, and they just can't figure out how to get out. Amen. Now, can I give you some things tonight about what preachers have said of old? And I want to give you some Bible definitions tonight about that which is sin. It was Dr. R.G. Lee that said that sin is a beautiful picture of that which is a bed with a serpent beneath. Somebody said, Dr. John O'Rice said this, that sin is a beautiful apple, but it has a worm crawling in it. Someone said that sin is like an iceberg, but yet in seeing it from a distance, you begin to see the beauty of it, only come to find out the closer you get to it, it has jagged edges that are hidden from the sight. Somebody said that sin is like a boomerang. It always returns to the sender with greater speed and consequences than it was ever sent out. Somebody said that that which is the Velvet Alley, the Velvet Valley, is a place of entrance, but once you get in, you begin to be able to see the true filthiness that is therein and the ugliness of its content. It is not as it appears as you begin. As you begin to walk in and the surface is refined. The surface seems fine. Doesn't look like any tragedy is in sight. But once you get inside, you begin to be buried by the tragedy that's all around you. Adam and Eve discovered that awful street or that awful valley, if you would, in their lives. At first, as they began to be solicited, if you would, by that which was Satan himself, he made it look so good, but then they did that which was wrong. Adam himself making that final choice of wrong, and that's where sin came and contaminated the entire human race. It was Achan that learned way too late that the price of sin was way too high. Some look at silver and some look at gold, and they look at that which is the goodly garments of those that are the Babylonian people, but yet you would never find one of those people being marched down to that which was a burning stake wearing a Babylonian garment. David went down to that which was the Velvet Alley or the Velvet Valley, and he saw and he lusted after Bathsheba. And then not too long after that, he paid a fourfold payment, suffering and with great regret, because he entered into sin that started off with a mere temptation. Ananias and Sapphira, they were lured down to one of these alleys or valleys as they lusted and they desired to have, and they kept that which they had promised wholly to the Lord, and because of that, both of them lost their life. It was that which was the prodigal son that was attracted down to a path, but he did not know that that path was going to lead him to that which was the pig pen. It was Judas that went out and hung himself after he did that which was wrong, and he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for only 30 pieces of silver. It was alcohol that first entered into a man's life as he would take a trip and decide that he would just have a little bit of a cocktail. Before you know it, he can't wait to be able to taste that which is the beer that would be able to quench his thirst as he would go down to the alleyway or the valleyway, and it would be ultra-destructive to him inside and also destroy his marriage and his life. It's the fallen girl that is unwedded, and yet she still has a baby. Why? Because all of a sudden now she was allured into something, and she decided to go into something she had no business in going into, and she gave willingly her purity away. It's that one that walks down, if you would please, and sits in a chair someplace to receive counsel, and now one that has a baby, but has a baby that has not a father. In Psalms, the Bible says in Psalm 34 and in verse 21, it says, evil shall slay the wicked. The Bible says in Psalm 140 and verse 11, the Bible says, evil shall haunt, it says, the violent man to overthrow him. The Bible says, as Solomon is speaking in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 36, the Bible says, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. You think about people that look at sin, and today for some reason we look at sin as being very passive. For some reason today, especially young people, they look at casual Christianity, not really realizing that casual Christianity will lead into a massive casualty. When a person is going to get into a train wreck, first they have to be on the train. If a person's going to enter into a car wreck, first they have to be doing something. If you would please, if they themselves are causing the wreck, they've got to do something that is not right if they themselves are going to cause the wreck. And so tonight, I want us to consider some things about this matter of sin, because sin will take you down, and sin will destroy you, and sin will destroy that husband-wife relationship, and sin will destroy the relationship that you have with your mom and dad, and sin will destroy the relationship that you have with your authorities, and sin will destroy all the things that is near and dear and honest and right. If you're not careful, you can begin to step into it, and before you know it, it sucks you down that pipe, down that tube. It causes you to drown in the mire of it, and it's like quicksand. You step in it just a little bit, and you dismiss it and say everything is okay. Well, can I tell you tonight that sin is still sin? Let me give you a definition, a Bible definition. Can I do it? By the way, the way you give Bible definitions is by reading your Bible. Let me give you God's definition of sin tonight. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 4, the Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth against the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So the Bible plainly teaches tonight that when you sin, you are going against the Word of God. The Bible teaches tonight that you miss the mark. You're transgressing against the law. The law is a mirror. If you would please, it is that which you are able to view yourself. The Bible says some comparing ourselves among ourselves are not wise. You can go to a liberal church tonight, and because of your liberal thinking, you might fit in quite well. You can go to a liberal church tonight, and because the way that you don't want to put first-classness in that which is your life for Jesus Christ, you may feel this is okay. You can find anybody you want to line up with, and they're out there, believe me. But is that the type of right people to line up with? See, the Bible talks about how Solomon defines sin over in, I read it just a moment ago, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 21, the Bible says, I want to read this one, says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. So when you despise your neighbor, you're sinning. Paul explained it this way over in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's the way Paul described it. James stated it this way in James chapter 4 and verse 17. He said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When John wrote about it, John said in 1 John 5, 17, he said, all unrighteousness is sin. So you have a Bible description about that which is sin. Now, there's many different kinds of illustrations to illustrate every sin that is found in the Bible. Even those sins that we would call a secret sin. There was Cain, if you would please. He created that which was, or embraced that which was, or did that which was sin because of an impulse. It was an impulsive sin. Not thought through, just done. There's Esau. What did he do? He covered his sin. There's people like Joseph's brothers and Achan's sin that was prompted by others. Because somebody prompted them, they did it. There was Samson's sin that was under the influence of alcohol. Because it was under the influence of alcohol, what happened? He sinned. There was such as Bathsheba's sin, if you would please. There is that which is knowing what you should be doing and not doing it. Not just a man that comes in, but you know what is right. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You think about this. There's Judas. Judas, of course, was a person that sinned, and he did it, I believe, pretty much to please the public. There was Pilate's sin, the sin of ignorance. There was the Jews, if you would please, that rejected the Messiah. D.L. Moody said this, the best way to show that your stick is crooked is to lay it beside a straight one. Lay it beside a straight one. Mrs. Wells, for many years, she worked in a bank. When I was in Bible college, she was somebody that worked in a bank, and there for a while, of course, she worked in different places in the bank, and she watched them as they would teach them how to be able to identify counterfeit money. You know what they did not do? They did not bring the counterfeit in and study it. Here's what they did do. They studied the real thing. And by studying the real thing, if you study the real thing long enough, when all of a sudden counterfeit shows up, you recognize it. So may I say to you tonight, study that which is righteousness. Study that which is right. Pick up your Bible and study your Bible. Allow the Word of God to be that which mentors you. Allow the Word of God. Don't pick up a commentary and read the commentary and think the commentary knows more than the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we understand what sin is by the Word of God. So there's the definition of sin. But watch this. There's the deceitfulness of sin. You know, sin is deceitful. Listen to this. Paul, if you would, in writing Hebrews, wrote this. He said, but exhort one another. It says daily. It says, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So you can be so deceptive by sin that you think you're right. Come on. I watch Christians that become more passive and more passive and more passive, and then when you get on to them about being passive, they get mad. You know why they get mad? Because they have deceived themselves into thinking that they're right. They have deceived themselves into thinking that everything that they're doing right now is A-okay. Can I tell you, it's not okay if it's sin. Jeremiah stated this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. So we see in the Bible that you cannot trust your heart. Somebody comes and says, well, I believe God is leading my heart to do this. Forget it. You cannot trust your heart. You need to go back and allow principle to tell you what to do, not the way you feel. What does principle tell you to do? The psalmist cried in Psalm 120 and verse 2 says, deliver my soul, O Lord. It says, from the lying lips and from the deceitful tongue. Sincere people sometimes will be sincerely wrong because they're having a deceptive look at life. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 and verse 8, he said, take heed, it says, that ye be not deceived. Paul warned about those that would become deceived where he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. So we understand that the people get deceived about sin. Come on. Now, can I tell you, our world is not getting more godly. Our world is getting more sinful. I want to show you something. As the world gets more sinful, the church believes that they're more righteous even though they're drifting from truth. Amen. Brother Nash, if you would be kind enough to help me and just stand up facing that way. And so here's a picture of the world. The world moves just a little bit. Now, by the way, are you listening to me? And your average church around America moves just a little bit towards the world, and they feel good because they're not as bad as the world. Come on. Back in the 1940s, back in the 1950s, back in the 1960s, and even when I got saved in the 1970s, there was a starking difference than the way it is in 2014. We're visiting in a home, and I know they're listening to the podcast, or will, because they listen to it often now. We're in a home just the other day, I think it's Brother Butler and I. And we're in a home, and the lady said, you know, when I walked into your church, I felt like I went back in time. She said, I never knew people still dressed up for church. She said, it's like I stepped back in time. It reminded me of the day, she said, when people really respected God. She said, and though we did not feel comfortable because of the way that we dressed, she said, I tell you what, she said, it was good. Now, can I tell you, it is not that which is the world that is getting more godly. But as the years go by, all right, let's take it a different way. Can you come up and hold your Bible? Let's take it all the way back, stand on the first step there up top. Let's take it all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry. No, we're not going to put you in sandals. No, we're not going to ask you men to wear robes that are different. And that, by the way, they were different than ladies' robes. There was a distinct difference. That's why there's supposed to be a difference today, even in man's and ladies' dress. But let's go back to that which we just read a few moments ago. Was the definition of sin back then the same as the definition of sin right now? Yes. And can I tell you, back in the day, what year are you?
70.
No, you're not in 1870. He's 70.
Oh, 40.
You're 40. God bless you.
I was born in 70.
Yeah, you're born in 70, but you're really 70 now. Okay, now watch. And so here's what happens. Somewhere along the line, something got dropped. Somewhere along the line, here's what we did. Instead of going up to where God's holiness is, we begin to bring God down to our living. And then we begin to justify the way that we live. Because after all, we don't want to feel bad. So the skirts started getting shorter. The top started getting tighter. Girls started wearing stuff that would draw the attention of the boy rather than pleasing God. Men started, if you would please, going according to the fads. You know, they started wearing the tight shirts to show the muscles they really don't have. And here's what happened. I'm being very honest about this. It became all about me rather than about him. It became, I'm gonna take care of me to such a place that everybody recognizes me. Because after all, I deserve recognition. Can I tell you tonight, and I love you in the name of the Lord, but if you're doing things to get recognition more than pointing people to your Savior, you are paying way too much attention to yourself. Now let's get back to the old-fashioned preaching. By the way, back in the 1970s even, you had preachers that were standing for the truth, and those churches are the churches that God was blessing. You said, but preacher, there's churches out there today, and God is blessing these churches. Oh, yeah, but you know how they're drawing their crowd? It's by fleshly allurement. The same way that you go to a football game, same way you go to a basketball game, it's by fleshly allurement. Can I tell you tonight, let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to truth. Let's come to church because the Bible is the Bible. Truth is truth, and let's stand up for the truth and let God be heard. And let God be that which is truth, and every man a liar. Thank you. Be seated for a moment. Watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus speaking again, where he said, take heed. He says, lest ye be deceived. Paul speaking again, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you're sowing is what you're going to reap. If you allow the right type of sowing in your life, it can reap the right type of blessing. But if you're allowing wrong things, now wait a minute, I said statement number one, there's the definition of sin. Statement number two, the deceptiveness of sin. Statement number three, the death by sin. There is still a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is still death. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible teaches in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, you know it was, a soul winner in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So sin does bring death. Oh, preacher, it won't matter if I just smoke a little bit. Well, then you'll just die a little bit sooner. Well, preacher, it doesn't matter if I just drink a little bit. Well, then you get cirrhosis of the liver and you just die a little bit sooner. The more you're involved in sin, the quicker that death does come to your door. The more that we stay close, now come on. Same way with your music. If you pump it in and 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 it's talking about lusting and it's talking about doing all these things that you should not be doing and makes your body unhealthy and unholy and unacceptable to a holy God, can I tell you tonight what's going to take place is that is going to take over your mind to the point and to the place that you're consumed by. You will not make wise decisions. You will make decisions that will hurt you the rest of the days of your life and will destroy your soul. Don't get mad at your parents if your parents, you say, my parents is too strict on me. No, it's because you're not doing what's right. If you'd be doing what was right, it wouldn't seem strict at all. And your daddy says to sit up. What's hard about that? You know? Come on. And I saw some of our boys and starting to wear little bracelets. Let the girls have the bracelets, fellas. Next thing, you'll be putting an earring in your ear. Bracelets are for girls. You say, well, you know, that's narrow-minded, and I continue to stay that way. Hey, look. Think about it. Just think about it. Think about the direction. Hey, can you imagine somebody getting up as a young preacher and storming the pulpit and saying, let me tell you. It doesn't work that way. You don't have respect. I'm saying this. You stand up and you do right and you walk like a man and talk like a man. Now, I'm sorry, but I never thought I'd see the day. Now, every time I say something about this, I'll get emails or texts or dirty notes. That's okay, because all next week, I'm giving Brady my mail. But I never thought I'd see the day when homosexuality would not just be coming out of the closet. Are you listening to me tonight? But would be accepted. And then we got boys that are practicing to be girls. Come on. Flowers in the hair. A boy behind the ear. Bracelets, necklaces. For you to be knowing it, they'll be wearing skirts. Hey, what's wrong with just being a man and facing up? Come on, years ago, my daddy was a man's man. I'm sorry, but he's just a man's man. My daddy said, when you talk to me, you talk like a man. Yes, sir. He said, when you walk like a man. He said, when you run, he said, boy, you run like a man. He said, you don't run like a girl. Can I tell you tonight, I thank God for a daddy that loved me enough to keep me straight. My daddy had no problem at all calling me in and said, buddy, you better straighten it up. And by the way, I never gave my daddy no lip because I wanted to keep my lips. Now, can I say tonight that sin still does bring death? It'll bring death to your soul. It'll bring death to your spirit. It'll bring death to your consciousness. Come on. It will bring death to everything that's good, wholesome, right, godly. So why don't we just decide that we will let things be in certain areas in life? Come on. Come on. And then us decide that we're going to be in other areas in life. Hello? Well, you know, there's certain things that just men do. So why are you saying this? Well, because maybe some daddies aren't saying it. But just to be honest with you, there was a day when you didn't have any problem identifying a man. You didn't. Now you see somebody walking down the street and you say, what is it? You say, well, I'm offended by what you're saying. Well, I'm not done yet. You understand that there was a day when that which was the identification of a man, you had no problem with it. You just had no problem with it. But today in our society, and I'm telling you, it's wrong. It is wrong. God did not create, here comes the hate mail. God did not create an Adam and a Steve. God created an Adam and an Eve. These two queer boys said, I can't wait. He said, we got the privilege to get married now. He said, next is children. Now you listen to me tonight. Sin brings that which is death. There's death by sin. I'm saying tonight, somebody, you preacher boys, hey, don't be somebody that decides one day you get up in a pulpit. The way the pulpit is the way the church becomes, the way the families become, and before you know it, the whole country goes down the tubes. You got these, it's all passive now. The sweat when you listen to me, it's all passive now. It's just passive. Nobody wants the hot preaching. You know, they just want everybody just to come along and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You can make it. It's going to be okay. And it's really not all that bad. Well, if it's sin, it's bad. It's wrong, it's unholy, it's ungodly. God hates it. There's death by sin. Statement number one, there's a definition of sin. Statement number two, deceptiveness of sin. Statement number three, death by sin. Statement number four, you ready? Deliverance from sin, best part. Deliverance from sin. You know, a person that sins does not have to stay there. Listen to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says. Listen to what he says. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. It says, made the righteousness of God in him. I am delivered from sin in Jesus Christ. My Bible says that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My Bible teaches that his grace is sufficient. The psalmist said this, he brought me, it says, up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet, it says, on a rock. Now listen to it now, and established my going. So it is God that can establish my going. It's God that can give me that which is a rightness inside of my heart, inside of my life. I really believe this with all my heart, that America is doomed if churches do not start going back to God. I really believe that we are dooming ourselves, Brother Nash, dooming ourselves. Because stand up again, Doc, if you will. Same direction. Because here's what I'm seeing. Come, guys. Here's what I'm seeing. As the ages go by, we get farther and farther away from Bible truth. Farther and farther away. From the 70s to the 60s to the 50s to the 40s. And we can take that line all the way back. And before you know it, we're just following the world. Oh, you know, and here's the way it does. Come here, Dr. Nash. Come here. Watch this. The world has always been the world. World's always been the world. So I'm way back here, and I'm following Jesus, and we got our Bible, and there was a world then, too. There was a world then, too. There was those back then that decided they were going to be worldly, and they were going to be with the world crowd and stuff like that. And they were not dedicated Christians, though saved. They weren't dedicated. They went to church when they felt like it. They served God when it was convenient. They tithe as they would tip God, but never treated it as that which was right before God. And so what happens is the world moved a little bit. And what we did is we didn't stay back here with the good, solid preaching and with the soul winning and with all the principles and, yea, the commands that has never changed from generation to generation. Here's what we do. We just cut them out because we don't want to offend anybody. And now we bring the church down to where we can reach the masses of people. And now people go to church and they pick and choose. Well, I don't want to go to that independent Baptist church over there because after all, they preach it straight, and I don't like that. And that really bothers me. I mean, after all, my preacher's not that mean. I mean, where I attend church, he's not that straightforward. You know, so I like to go over there. You know, they don't believe God enough over there to practice all the Bible, but it sure does make me feel good. I mean, I can feel better over there. And so the world moves on, and the church follows. And the world moves on, and the church follows. And the world moves on, and the church follows. And the world moves on, and the church will continue to follow. Now listen to me. I'm not against putting out first-class stuff. I'm not against for having lights in the auditorium where you can see your Bible.
Amen.
I'm not against something that would help with a message, but yet does not replace a message.
Right.
You know what I'm against? When you change the message. Because when you start changing the message, you start changing God's word. And you have no right to change doctrine. You have no right to change God's word. Come on. I know preachers still today that preach against cell phones. Today. Now, I think they're cheating themselves. I think they're cheating their people, especially if somebody tries to get a hold of them. I know preachers that preach against texting. And so nobody knows when somebody goes in the hospital. You know, they're keeping their people ignorant and uninformed. Well, I don't believe that's right. But I do remember the day when preachers preached against colored tracks. I remember the day in the 70s where if you had a gymnasium, you were preached against because you were liberal. I do. I remember that in the 70s. That was prevalent. I remember the day when Dr. Hiles had a bowling alley at Hiles Anderson College, and preachers all over the nation preached against him because they had a bowling alley. Hello. All right. But his doctrine was straight.
Right.
Amen. Now, we're not getting a bowling alley. I don't want a bowling alley. I'm sorry. I know I just broke your heart, right? But what I'm saying is this: I'm talking about people that change your Bible. I'm talking about people that change the doctrine. I'm talking about people that here's what they do: they do not take that which is they let the girls and start dressing any way they want to, and anybody can teach Sunday school, whether they use a King James Bible, NIV Bible, RSV, Living Word, yeah, anybody. I mean, there's no standard of right. And I'm talking about tonight, you've got to have a standard of right.
Amen.
You've got to decide, okay, what do I believe?
Amen.
One of the things that we taught our children way back when we were doing the devotions as far as being able to help them to understand is we help them understand this is why we do what we do and this is why we do what we do. And it's all Bible-based. It wasn't, and then remember the time we would assign the subject. Said, you're going to give devotions tonight and it's going to be on this. You're going to give a devotion tonight, Josh, and it's going to be on this. And we let them give the devotion. Why? Because we wanted them to look it up. We wanted them to know their Bible. Why? Because one day daddy's going to be dead, but God's word is still going to be alive. And God's word, we're supposed to be accountable to. And we're supposed to lift up that which is the Bible. Hey, stop chasing all the penny ante things. But I'm telling you tonight, you don't be somebody that throws church away. Church is still church. God is still God. Bible is still Bible. Truth is still truth. Soul winning is still right. Separation is still right. Do what you're supposed to do. Now, by the way, I think that some preachers are the cause of all the confusion. Because here's what they've done. They've taken all their penny-ante preferences and they put them in one box. And they preach their preferences as strong as their convictions and confuse their people. So now we have preachers that believe that if you wear a colored shirt that you're sinning against God. You know, if you wear tassels on your shoe, that's a sin against God. You know, if you have a texting, then can I tell you, that's a bunch of junk. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, you let the Bible be the Bible, and you let God be God, and tonight you decide you're not going to hitch up with that which is the world and step out and follow the world, but I'm telling you tonight, you take your stand, you go soul winning, you preach Bible truth, you give Bible doctrine, but you don't start chasing things that identifies you with a different culture. You say, what's the difference between that and a boy wearing a bracelet culture? That's why we're not going to have the praise teams up here. It's a culture. That's why the auditorium lights are not going to be dark, and all of a sudden the platform changes different colors, and you know, we all come walking out, and culture. Reminds you of the 1960 culture, pop rock. Go there. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying this. I'm saying you be careful that you identify with God and truth all the way through. I was born in the 1940s like Brother Butler. I wasn't born in the 1950s like Brother Crutcher. But I was born in the early 60s. I lived in the 70s, in the 80s, the 90s, 2000, 2010, and I'm tired. Now, can I tell you tonight, know your Bible? Can I tell you tonight, as you learn your Bible and you know your Bible, then you follow your Bible. Come on. And be somebody that's proud of the church that God gave you. I would say this, if you can't follow the leader you got, go find yourself another and follow. Because it'd be better off for you to find somebody that you can follow than still complain about the guy that is in the lead. But I also tell you this, if you're having trouble following this guy, you're going to have trouble and cause grief for the other guy. So if I were you, I'd just get right. Stay right. All right? Now, I'm saying, look, here's what we do. We just make sure that we're heading in the right direction. Thank you. Be seated. Father, tonight we love you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.